sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
You cannot talk.
Bon, mesdames et messieurs, épisode 216 et le titre pas officiel sera The Sequel to the Last Episode. Take one. Lord, they really think they fooling you by coming to church on Sunday. Praying and laying hands on folks, stomping and jumping around, faking the Holy Ghost. But it's a thin line between walking it and talking it and living it and giving it or just pretending it's all right. And did they really think that they could pull the wool over your eyes, Lord? Did they really think that by faking they were saved, that they would get the same reward?
Message.
I'm going to repeat that. Did they really think that by faking they were saved, that they can get the same reward?
Message.
This be the realest thing I ever wrote, for sure. And after this, a lot of folks won't like me no more. But after this, I got to go answer to you, Lord. So I've just made up my mind.
Message.
I'm going to go to church on Sunday and sing a song that may hurt somebody's feeling so that maybe thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And hopefully they will see how much they really be discouraging an old sinner like me.
Message.
Welcome. Et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. Okay, before I start the show, I need to inform you listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the
red, black,
and the red, blue.
Who's your blue
in this bitch? Who's your blood up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
Think about it. Think about it before you answer. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on October 31st, 2024. That's right. You heard it right. October 31st, 2024. Thriller night. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you happen to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. A lot of emphasis, eh? All right, okay. Shout out to you, the Christians. I don't know why the fuck you'd be listening to this podcast, but shout out to the Christian listening to this podcast. And how dare you acknowledge the 31st? Happy Halloween. All right, okay. Before I continue on and bring you what will happen to be a great episode of Shut Up Podcast, I need to send us some shout-outs to you listeners, to two categories of listeners. The first category is all you returning listeners, man. From the bottom of my from the bottom of my heart. Show some love. Be Black cares if nobody else cares. And another category, a very special category of listeners that I need to point out and acknowledge. If you see them, point them out. If you see them, point them out. And that's all you new listeners, seriously. All you new listeners, shout out to y'all. Yay! Yeah, it's an accomplishment. Especially if you, especially if you're a new listener who happened to, like, you know, clicked on this podcast by mistake. Because you thought I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Anyways, welcome. You're still welcome. All right? Showing you some love. Now, if you happen to still stick around, I some final notes just to help you get familiarized with how about this journey that you're on called Episode 2016. Oh, my God. 216. Jesus Christ. Woo! I just got off work, man. Yeah, let me tell you that I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Three parts that I call acts. That's right, three acts. Now, no relations to the three act structures. It's just a freaking coincidence, all right? Okay, three acts. And the first act is the intro. Second act is using random thought. Final act is final thoughts. For those watching the video of this, yes, that was me thinking about what I call the final act of this podcast. All right. Okay. So far in the intro, what you've heard is the theme song followed by, well, usually I put the title, but as, like I said, it's the unofficial title is 216, the sequel to the last episode, because it's a sequel to the last episode. Followed by some poetry, and which I will explain, elaborate in the last act. Final thought. And everything after that was greeting, salutation, and a little disclaimer, especially for white folks who are down with whitey. You know, anybody who's down with whitey. Yes, that's right. You don't have to be white to just to be down with whitey. Yeah, you can get this. Fuck you. you can. I forget what I say. Fuck whitey. Yes. Hope your feelings got hurt. Okay. And, that's it. Oh, no, that's not it. Okay, before I wrap up the intro, I want to share some quotes with you. And, first one goes, bear with me. Okay. The brain is an organ. I love this one. The brain is an organ. Mental illnesses are illnesses of the organ, of that organ. Brain scans show that there is a physical difference between a healthy brain and a sick brain. Telling someone you're not sick, it's all in your head, is like telling someone with asthma, it's not real, it's all in your lungs. The brain is an organ that can malfunction as much as any other organ. Please read this over and over and over. All right, okay. I got this one from Reddit, anxiety memes. Yes. Okay, second quote goes, we cannot shame ourselves. Wait, I think I read this already. We cannot shame ourselves into change. We can only love ourselves into evolution. I get the feeling I shared this already, but whatever. Bonus. Sequel to the last episode. Okay, well, in case you forgot. And the last one goes, that's too long. Sorry. It goes, but when we come out here, we have to fight that comment. Aw, man, hold on a second. I'm a funny guy. I was trying to shorten the quote, and it turns out I removed the whole thing. Okay. But if we keep our religion at home, keep our religion in the closet, keep our religion between ourselves and our God, but when we come out here, we have to fight that fight that's common to all of us against a enemy who is common to all of us. Oh, my God. I fucked that quote up. Okay. Let me give you some better context. Okay. I'll read the whole paragraph. Bear with me. And this is best this way. Were we to come out here discussing religion, we'd have too many differences from the outstart, and we could never get together. So today, though Islam is my religious philosophy, my political, economic, and social philosophy is black nationalism. You and I, as I say, if we bring up religion, we'll have, okay, oh my God, the point, the best part of, the part of the quote that I was sticking to is how your religion is personal. Keep that shit to yourself. Keep that shit in the closet. You know what? I'll elaborate. It'll make more sense why I picked this quote in the final act. But before we can get to the final act, before we can get to number three, we got to get to number two. So let's wrap up this first act and jump to the next one. Okay, let's do this. I'm really off to a bad start, gang. I pressed the wrong button. You know what's important is I probably pressed the wrong button, but at least I didn't do the bone move I did at the beginning of the week, which is forget to hit record. All right. Now, I'm really serious. Let's jump to the second act. All right, let's go. Whoa! Oh, my God. Bear with me, man. Pray for our brother. You know what it is? I think it's Halloween. Thriller night. That's not the song, is it? Hold on a second. Thriller. No, that's not the lyrics. Thriller. You know, I never bothered paying attention to the lyrics. English is my second language. That's my excuse. It's close to midnight and something lurking in the dark. Okay, chorus. Cause this is Thriller. Oh, I was right. I gotta stop doubting myself. Cause this is Thriller night, and no one's gonna save you from the beast about to strike. You know it, Thriller night. You're fighting for your life inside a killer. Thriller tonight. Yeah, okay. Boom. Thriller. I'm doing the dance. Okay, never mind. Okay. I get silly on my podcast. Do you know why? Because goddamn, it's my goddamn podcast. All right. Yeah, let's do it. All right, okay. Let's wrap this up. Let me take this water here. Get this dance. You about to lose your job. Okay. Today's episode, I simplified the fucking topics like a motherfucker. We will be discussing some taboo topics. So usually in News and Random Thought, it's exactly that, News and Random Thought. But this time I'm going to focus the News and Random Thought section to the theme of politics. So like I said, maybe I'm going to call this episode taboo or something like that, because I will be discussing religion and politics and religion. So today in the game of politics, U.S. election fatigue part two. Like I said, this is a sequel to the first episode, and I decided to follow up on U.S. election fatigue part two because we are like, don't make me count. Oh, 31. Okay, so we're like 6 days away, right? 6 days away if you don't count today. So 5 days away until the U.S. election. This dude, and I'm feeling the fatigue, gang. I'm feeling the fatigue, and I'm just gonna talk about it. Fuck it. But what? Cause it's my goddamn podcast. And so for the first one, I'm gonna go with I wrote, someone said something racist at a Trump rally. Fuck. I should have a sound effect for no shit. Word. Really, we're shocked. So like I said, it's the 31st. The news, I don't know the name of the comedian, the white comedian, Tony something. And for the sake of it, fuck, I'm not going to look him up because it's not someone I would listen to. But a lot of racist shit was said on stage at a Trump rally. And first of all, I'm like, word, really? That's the article? We give a fuck? And what's this quote that I got in front of me? Oh, right. You know what? Before I continue, I'll let this this redneck, okay, and I mean that respectably, I'm going to let this dude explain it. I think his name is, his username is Corey Forrester. And I think it's just, you know, let me just play it. Okay, here we go.
Way these Tony Hinchcliffe, all these people, all these comedians who were like, we love Trump because he's going to make comedy legal again because we can't say anything. What these people mean, you can say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I could say anything I want right now. No one is stopping me. But I'm not free from consequences from that. Mm-hmm. I'm not free from persecution from that. I'm not free from someone saying, hey, that thing you said, I don't like that thing you said, because that free speech is a two-way street. And what these people want is not freedom of speech. It is freedom from consequences. And I don't know who the f*** a comedian thinks they are. Yep. That thinks for some reason our sorry ass are the only people on earth that get to be afforded the luxury of freedom of consequences. Nobody else has that. You can't just I don't know if any of these people would think that you should be able to walk into an office, look at the secretary and go, nice tits, and uh-huh. then just be like, it was just a joke. Like, you know you can't do that.
Word up.
So why are we the only one that get, again, by the way, you can do that, but you're going to have to go to HR. And if it's the second or third time you did it, you're probably going to get fired. Now, in our job, we're not even going to get fired. You can't fire me. I'm an independent contractor. I mean, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution could fire me, sure. But from being a comedian, you can't fire me. But what could happen is that you could just stop supporting me. You could stop being a fan of me, right? So I'm held to account on those terms. But
all right. I think the main reason I'm sharing it is because of his accent. And I, just like his accent in the French language, I rarely expect to hear some smart shit come out or some insightful shit, especially when it comes to race. Yeah, it's a bad stereotype. I get it. I agree. But this is my way of saying, see, I'm progressive. Okay, no. Okay, kidding aside. To his point. So this dude, the comedian, went on stage and said some racist shit on stage about, apparently he said, he attacked all kinds of people, but though I'm going to focus on Puerto Rico. Because it was a ridiculous, it's not that it was a ridiculous joke. First, I'm going to say, I'm not going to defend the comedian, but I'm going to say, the dude, that's his fucking act. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the blowback, but I am saying, come on, this white boy got a job at the Republican, and they said, let him have it. And he said, really? He said jokes that he probably usually says in his basement, and he said, wait, and I could say it at Madison Square Garden? Fuck. It's like white Jesus answered his prayers. And he went on there and said some racist shit. And I'm not going to talk about whether it was funny or not, because, you know, it was funny to the white folks in the audience, right? But the real point I'm trying to make to what Corey was saying is, don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch. Don't be acting like, oh, all these people offended by my joke or impeding on my freedom of speech. I can't go to an open mic comedy show, whip out my dick, and say, it's just a joke. It's just a joke. Okay, that is a bad example. I can't be sending no dick pics and talking about, it's just a joke. It was supposed to be funny. Bitch. Sorry, I just had an image of whipping out my dick and everyone starts laughing. Fuck, that hurts. I'd be offended. Fuck y'all. I'm voting for Trump. All right, okay. Get fucking serious, babe. All right. But to his point, yes, comedians, even on this podcast, I say a lot of shit. I speak from my mind, but I do acknowledge the fact that there's consequences to the shit that I say. And my intention is not to be an asshole, unless you're down with Whitey. You know, fuck that. I hope your feelings get hurt. But you people don't have no feelings. But anyway, my point is, My intention is not to hurt feelings. It's honestly speak my truth. And I do anticipate for some people, okay, what was that? Is it her name, Nina Turner, when she says, yo, just say ouch or amen. I say shit to make you either say ouch or amen. And if it makes you say ouch, it's either growing pain or it's the, why does he like Whitey? Why does he like my friend Whitey? You know what I mean? I want your feelings to be hurt. Anyways, I think that's what really bothers me more about this whole situation. It's more the fact that these assholes said some racist shit, calling Puerto Rico garbage, and the whole island. No, fuck. If you know anything about people from the island, you don't diss their island and walk away and think that they can handle it. Holy fuck, Puerto Rico. Holy shit, Haiti. Oh man. Hey, high five to Puerto Rico, because we were like, what Trump call us? Before the whole eating dogs, what did he say about I forget the expression. I know it involves shit. Shit show. I'm really blanking on am I hitting record? My brain is not functioning, man. It's not pumping on all four cylinders. Anyways, I've talked too much about this topic. It's just the whole being offensive and then being surprised at the consequences. Sometimes I think white people were born with the, well, I mean, okay, that's a longer episode I could talk about this theory about why white people don't understand the concept of consequences. Anyways, I feel the need to play this. I'm just going to end it with this. Anna Navarro just said something that I really appreciated. Yes. Also in the context of, to the context of someone said something racist at a Trump rally. Really? You're fucking shocked. Anyway, okay. So take it away, Anna.
And when I was leaving the hotel, there was a woman there, and she started talking to me about this rally. And I said to her, are you Puerto Rican? And she said to me, no, but today we are all Puerto Ricans. Great. And so I want to say, and he didn't just make jokes about Puerto Ricans.
No, he didn't.
He made jokes about blacks.
Yep.
You know, the whole trope about watermelons. He made jokes, a vile joke about Latinos that we can't even put on daytime TV.
Yep.
So today we are all in this together. And I'm going to say this particularly to my Latino community. If Trump asking for the death penalty for 5 young men of color, black and Latino, the exonerated 5 wasn't enough for you. If Trump getting investigated for refusing to rent to black people wasn't enough for you. If Trump promoting a racist trope against the first black president mm-hmm. with the birtherism wasn't enough for you. If Trump calling Mexicans rapists and criminals and bad hombres wasn't enough for you. Mm-hmm. If Trump calling us vermin, invaders, people who poison the blood of this country wasn't enough for you. If Trump throwing paper towels at people in need after Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico wasn't enough for you. If Trump saying immigrants have made this country into the trash can of the world wasn't enough for you, then maybe, just maybe, this comedian, handpicked, chosen, vetted by the Trump campaign because he reflects what Trump has said his entire lifetime, maybe that will be enough for you. And on November 5th, I want you to vote for your heritage and your traditions and your identity. I want you to vote with dignity and self-respect. Latinos, comunidad, si ustedes tienen respeto por sí mismos, si tienen dignidad, mm-hmm. defiendan esa dignidad y usen sus votos el 5 de noviembre para sacar a Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This comedian, he talked 32 minutes.
All right, okay. I'm not going to play the whole thing. But that was badass, man. I didn't understand what she said in Spanish, but I felt the words. I know it said something, yo, get your punk ass voting on November 5th. I think I heard 5 in there. Vote si, arrivate, Chris. Yeah, all right. Fatigue, yes, this contributed to my fatigue. All right, okay, let's run down. What else do I got in here? Garrison Hayes, man, I respect that brother, man. He was born to be on the internet. And he's sharing some thoughts about, how is it's black people who are being told not to vote. And it's not the fact it's black people being told not to vote. It's more the fact that motherfuckers are fucking falling for it. But you know what? I'll let him explain it. I'll let him tell it.
It's time to hold the vote until we get something. It's time to hold the vote until we get something.
Anybody telling you that you gotta vote, be skeptical.
I want you to spot the difference between the way that right-wing conservatives are talking about voting and the way that people allegedly interested in progress are talking about voting. Every election cycle, someone insists that black folks, for one reason or another, should not vote.
Hold the vote until we get some.
But have you ever noticed that conservative white people are rarely, maybe even never told that they should be withholding their vote? In fact, this is what white Christian nationalists have been saying to each other in plain sight for decades.
They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote.
That's Paul Weyrich back in 1980.
Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now.
He's a godfather in the modern conservative movement, and he co-founded the Heritage Foundation. Yes, the folks who have been producing the document known as Project 2025 for the last 40 plus years.
As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
What they know is that their vision for America is profoundly unpopular. And as such, it hinges entirely on people like you not showing up to vote.
Extremely unpopular. Republican is the party of, hey, we want to make it illegal for people to have premarital sex. They'll run on that fucking platform. So, of course, they got to fucking cheat. They got to, like, okay, niggers like to have sex. People don't have sex, so we're going to make sure they can't vote. But I'm just saying, man, don't fall for the okie-doke. You know, I'm extremely disappointed by Ice Cube. Ice Cube is on my list of top five rappers. Top five rappers. But it's a snapshot of Ice Cube. I acknowledge him as an artist, and this first few albums that he gave us, America's Most Wanted. I'm the nigga you left to hear. Anyways, America's Most Wanted. What was the second album called? Death Certificate. I'm not sure if that was the second one. But my point is, he gave hip hop some solid contributions. He's got a song about how not falling for the okie doke. Before I fall for the okie doke, I let my pistol smoke. And here he is right now on some, yo, niggas, don't vote. Really? Really? Like I said, okay, my theory is, by the way, that Malcolm X quote that I recited earlier comes from a speech he made called The Ballot or the Bullet. And it's from where I got the notion that, look, if you ain't, this is it. There's no in between. If you're not about the ballot, you better be about the bullet. Ain't no fucking in between. Lead, follow, or shut the fuck up. You're either part of the problem or part of the solutions. Don't trust anyone who's on this. Yeah, don't vote. Anyone who tells a black person, don't vote. Don't fucking fall for it. We black people ain't got that kind of juice. And it's not like by me not voting, the people in power will be like, oh, our feelings are hurt that you didn't show up to vote. Okay, let's fix things so you'll want to vote. They're not selling a product. They want your thoughts. Hey, left or right? Slavery or not? Abortion or not? You know, it's... And I know it's... You know what? It's funny. Every year, I get strong against the anti-voting folks. Because I know my source, because I used to be those people who didn't vote. I didn't know any better. I was like, yo, I'm a black man and the system ain't working for me. Then I got a mortgage. Then I grew up and had a mortgage. And I'm like, okay. Shit started to make sense. I won't lie. Okay, this is a smaller example. Municipal elections. I'm the uninformed voter. I'm like, I flip a coin. That's not true. I don't flip a coin. No. I hang out with all the right people to know, okay, because municipal, my point is, municipal election, it's like garbage collection, shit like that. My point that I'm trying to make is I understand going from uninformed to informed. I get that. But what the fuck? Trump, grab him by the pussy. Racist ass Trump. Have you not seen Trump supporters? And think you want them motherfuckers behind the steering wheel? Trump supporters are like the drunk Uber driver. You're gonna let that motherfucker drive you home? I got you. Hiccup. And so we're gonna take a detour by a Klan rally. You know, I'm just saying. Yes, Kamala's not perfect. I understand that. But your choice is between imperfect. You know what it is? I think what it really comes down to when it comes to the U.S. election is having to make tough decisions, especially if you're like, you know what? Okay, because I'll save it for the next, what I was about to say for the next topic. But I usually try to relate to most human beings in their experience. But the one I can't do it for are Americans, undecided voters. Especially black ones. I don't know. I mean, you got... Because Trump, he grabs him by the pussy. What the fuck? Well, I mean, I'm a dude. I'm down with grabbing him by the pussy. Why the fuck wouldn't I vote for that? And, you know, U.S. fatigue. U.S. fatigue. Okay. What's this? What do I got? Oh, okay. I'm glad. Okay. Why? Oh, okay. I got to read this one, right? Now... is the link gone? Oh, no, it's still here. Okay. I'm just going to read it. And this content creator, his name is Ellie Mistel. He's been, all of a sudden, the algorithm have been showing his content on my timeline. And homie knows what the fuck he's talking about. Oh, you know what? I forgot to play this for...
You must learn!
For the clip about voting. What was the other one? Anything related to history? Anything related to history and black folks?
You must learn!
Okay. All right, this one, I like this, what he says. He goes, "Dear Republican Mike Lawler," fuck that, he's responding to Mike Lawler saying, "Oh, my feelings are hurt. Why'd you call the last Trump rally a Nazi rally?" And he said something that I found enlightening. He goes, "Historians have a word for Germans who joined the Nazi party. Not because they hated Jews," important, "not because they hated Jews, but out of hope for restored patriotism or a sense of economic anxiety or a hope to preserve their religious values or dislike of their opponents or raw political opportunism or convenience or ignorance or greed. That word is Nazi. Nobody cares about their motives anymore." Okay, did I read that right? Hold on. Yeah. And, but I like the idea of what he's saying is, yo, them motherfuckers who joined Nazi party, they considered themselves good people. They were not like, there's a part of the history I don't know, but to his point is, a lot of them told themselves, I don't know, but they probably didn't know about the whole concentration camp or didn't know it would get that far. But they were on some, yeah, man, fuck it. My wife left me, and it's all because of them goddamn immigrants. Or the goddamn libtards. I'm limited on them. But I am saying, I used to wonder, I wanted to watch the documentary about a documentary about Germany weeks after the war. Because, you know, young, dumb, and naive, I thought that I want to hear the story of the people who were like, we were wrong. And I'm realizing, based on my human experience, 49 years of human experience, it doesn't work that way. They were likely, we lost the war because they should have gone left, not right. They just continued, I wasn't wrong, Hitler wasn't wrong. I mean, the motherfucker killed himself. I'm telling you, know, I would imagine if you're a Nazi and you're like, this asshole killed himself. Holy shit. I lost my mom, dad. I lost my fam. I was down with the cause and this nigga kills himself. Pussy. Like, they didn't tell themselves, oh, man, he wasn't about it. Like, there's not going to be a moment where Trump supporters are going to be like, oh, I was wrong. Wow, they were right, I was wrong. And it's not going to be like that. It's the same way, I talked about it in a previous episode, the same way as we're slowly starting to, like the effects of climate change are getting real. And Republicans are like, well, fucking the government must be controlling the temperature, must be controlling the weather. Motherfucker, you were warned! And, okay, last clip I want to share. Oh, you know what? Okay, I'm putting this under, again, election fatigue. What else is adding to my election fatigue is, you know, I'm going to have a make a part three of this shit. I'm filing this under let go, let God. B, but you're an atheist. No, I'm not. Anyway, we'll talk about this again in the religious section. Let go, let God. So, and it's important. I got to give the proper setup for this, right? Because I want to make sure this is not a diss. This is not an attack. This is more about a reflection of myself. Again, if you haven't noticed, a lot of what I do on this podcast is talk about my feelings, my emotion, my feelings. Because I'm an emotional nigger. I'm emotional, but I'm an emotional black guy, big black guy. All right. So my homegirl, and I want to acknowledge she's a writer, an intelligent woman, intelligent human being, and I don't deny it. Right. I don't deny what I'm saying. There's no but after this statement. So this is the setup context. She posted something that bothered me. And I know it wasn't, I'm gonna fuck with niggas today. I truly believe she's speaking her truth. And it happens. It happens. You know, we're all humans. Every once in a while, even the people you're down with who you see things the same way, they'll express their truth. And sometimes it's like hard to process. Exactly. I couldn't say amen. It made me say ouch. But not ouch in the, this is enlightening. So someone I follow on Twitter, again, smart intelligent, all that shit, right? Posted a meme of, it's a picture of, you know that meme of the Scooby-Doo one? I forget what the name of the white guy's name is, the character. Not Shaggy, but the dude who's always fucking the other two. I don't have any proof that he's fucking the other two people in the crew, the two chicks in the crew, but the white guy with the blonde hair. Anyway, whatever. The meme is he takes the mask off and they realize, oh, okay, so you're behind this person. Anyways, I'll just explain it. Fuck the meme. The point of the meme is to say that Kamala is no different than George W. Bush. She's a Republican. And that shit bothered the fuck out of me. And not just because of that meme, but I've been, late stage capitalism. It's a common theme to be like, yo, fucking Democrats, they're fucking up. Basically criticizing the Democrats, which, of course, it's going to happen. You know, they're not perfect, right? But this comparison bothered the fuck out of me. I remember seeing it in the morning and then scrolling away, man. That I'm in the shower thinking about this fucking I'm in the shower brushing my teeth, having breakfast, I'm driving to work, and I'm like, and I'm like trying to, this is why I'm sharing it, because I was trying to put something in the comment section that at the same time acknowledges the fact that she's sharing her truth. Like, this ain't what is that white boy, hey, Puerto Rico, no, this is someone sharing a truth that I ain't down with. It's kind of like I was trying to figure out a respectful way to disagree, to express my disagreement, while saying maybe I need to let this one marinate. Couldn't do it. That's why it bothered me, because it's like, the truth is, a normal person would have just let it go. Yeah, whatever, you know, just whatever. I couldn't. And it comes back to the whole being a highly sensitive person. I believe the term is sensory processing sensitivity, some shit like that. And it's common for us is sometimes you find yourself having difficulty letting go of small shit. And but the beauty in these moments, the beauty in these moments is I find myself thinking and finding a way to express what I need to express in a way that makes the other person say, either they'll be like, oh, okay, you know, he's not dissing me. Oh, he just disagreed, whatever. But you know, it. I see what you're saying, but. And the best I could come up with is, yo, fuck that. Hate the game, not the player. Again, I'm sure there's a point that they're making that I'm not seeing, that I just can't understand. But for me, I'm thinking of, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe, because I heard a constant criticism, Biden and Kamala is that, yo, they're too close to the right or some shit like, something, you know, basically they have a lot of Republican views. And what I'm saying is, them niggas are winning. One is them niggas are winning, okay? Two, are we really forgetting what the United States is? In the movies, they're like highly benevolent country, shit like that. But the United States, they're the gangsters of gangsters. I believe when you become president of the United States, you're not God. You say, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you're surrounded by fucking wolves. What's that line by Ice Cube again? He goes, greed, how you going to deal with the niggas that I feed? Hold on. I hate when I ruin a rap lyric. And I'm going to take the time. You know, that's my new resolution. Greed, Ice Cube. How the niggas going to eat without me? He goes, yeah. He goes, with power comes money. I like the chorus. He goes, we be stacking chips, packing clits, macking chicks. Laugh at tits. Okay, all right. Let me go to the greed. Give me everything that I need. How you gonna deal with the niggas that I feed? Greed. What I'm saying is, part of being president of the United States is surrounded by shot callers, motherfuckers who can make shit more difficult for you. I'm just. I want to be clear. I'm not trying to change their mind, but I'm expressing my truth. Is I'm saying, fuck it, whether you disagree with me or not, I'm sticking to the truth that they're surrounded by fucking by war criminals, by Netanyahu. Netanyahu's dick hard. It's like, yo, I wake up wanting to kill a Palestinian. And he says, yo, I dare you to stop me from doing it. You're negotiating with war criminals because you can't say, cut that shit out. Or you can, but the consequences, you're not willing to handle the consequences that come with it. Look, again, right or wrong, this is my truth. I think she's in a position where they're saying, hey, look, part of being president of the United States, we need you to be okay with kids dying on your watch. We need you to be okay with slaughtering village. But fuck the bullshit, man. This is the United States. All right? We have arrangements that's been there since time immemorial, or actually since World War II and one. We've been making a shitload of money selling these weapons. See, look, United States is the country where they can't stop themselves from selling guns. They can't, like, they look at kids dying in school and they're like, hey, part of life. Right to bear arm. Fuck it. Fuck them kids. Man, if I have to pick between me being able to own a gun and your kid dying, calling you to say I love you for the last time and bleeding, whatever. I'm being graphic. You know, it's wild. It's wild that I say this because I am a sensitive person. But being a sensitive person, meaning like empathy, I cry at the notion of dying kids. But I also know part of me trying to navigate in this cruel world is matching that cruel, is sometimes emotional regulations. It's don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I hate this world. But I'm telling myself the motherfuckers who make this shit go round, they're like, bottom line over everything. And I think Kamala is in a situation where she's like, oh, you're a woman. You can't cope. It's like, so I feel like they're having her, okay, we're going to play Russian roulette. And she's got to be in there going, click, I'm down. Got to be the illest brothers just to get respect. Okay, my point is Kamala's not running to be the president of the Girl Scouts. She's running to be president of the United States. And she's going to do some shit that is unpopular. Now, I say this while also acknowledging that, yes, she's going to do some shit that's unpopular that's going to make her side being like, yo, I can't roll. Nah, fuck that. I'm not down. And I get it. I understand that part. I think what just offends me in this whole, in that image of comparing her to George W. Bush is, one, she doesn't have the job yet. Two, she can lose this election. There's a lot of fucking idiots. Yo, Republicans. Have shown us, don't underestimate them. They don't fight fair. They had an insurrection at the last election. So I'm just saying, there's a chance she might lose this. I guess my point is, let's wait for her to get the job before we start criticizing. Whatever. I'm. Oh, right. The point that I was getting at is when it comes to Palestine, I go back to a point that I said in the last episode. I said there are two kinds of Palestine supporters. One group is willing to work, whether they want to or not, but are working within the system to help the situation out there. And working within the system means they're voting. And unfortunately, their choice is between the motherfucker is like, yeah, if I win, I'm turning a blind eye. Netanyahu, have fun. I'm going to help you out by reducing the amount of image information that comes to. Because I think that's that's what they did during the Vietnam War. To keep the shit going, they were like, yeah, stop showing pictures of the casket. Stop giving details about how we're losing over there, how motherfuckers are getting killed in Vietnam War. But yeah, see, that's the thing about Vietnam War is shout out to Ken Burry? The documentary guy there, Ken Burns. Hey, my brain works. All right, Ken Burns. I didn't realize this, but the Vietnam War lasted how many president term happened? That's a bad question. During the Vietnam War. Excuse me. Four U.S. presidents have been in various degrees involved in the Vietnam War. Left to right, Dwight Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, Lyndon B. Johnson, and Richard M. Nixon. And it ended with Richard M. Nixon. That a bitch. The Republican guy. The crazy Republican guy. I'm acknowledging, look, part of the job, and I've said that about Trudeau, part of the job is who can I afford to disappoint this time? Who am I going to disappoint this time? It's choice between choice A, them niggas are going to hate me. Choice B, the other niggas are going to hate me. But I don't take away, this is one of those two truths can't be read. I don't take away the fact that, yeah, they do shit that's so popular that even you'll be disgusted. Yeah, I guess, you know, yeah. But I'm going back to what I was saying of, I think it's an unfair comparison, man. George W. Bush. I mean, let her get the job first. And yes, the elites and all that, they're serving their elites and shit like that. But I mean, what did Merovingi said? Merovingi. I'm fucking up the name from The Matrix, season two, the second Matrix. Choice is an illusion between those in power and those without power. It's a fucking illusion. It's a game we play. There was this one person who posted this thing about the overall message I got is like, yeah, voting is bullshit and blah, blah, blah. And I replied in the comment section. It's better if you heard it. It would make more sense if you heard the message. And I replied to the video. It's like, kind of sounds like you're saying the powerless are just powerless. Ain't shit we could do about it. And she responded. Yeah, she responded with, no, that's not the point I was trying to make. The powerless need to wake up, rise up. It's not going to work. Niggas ain't going to work. We ain't going to rise up. Fuck, motherfuckers ain't going to show up to vote. Can't get together. Human beings suck at that shit. The only people who have their act together are those in power. They're the only ones who are like, yeah, fuck that. Yesterday I had a billion. Tomorrow I'm going to have 2 billions. After that, 3 billions. But what about me who can't eat? What about you? Shit. Did you not hear me? 2 billions? 3 billions. 4 billions? 6 billions? When does it stop? That's a dumb question. How high can I count? But ain't this a bit? What about the fact? Okay, anyways. All right. I'm just looking at the time and I'm realizing I'm going over. So much for being a short episode. But yeah, man. Election fatigue. And that's fucked up. I think I'm going to bitch about election fatigue on the next episode, but we'll see. Okay. I'll save it for the next one. I was going to share a clip about speak English. You know what? No, I'll save it for the next one. All right. Okay. This wraps up, not news and rant. Well, the second act. This is usually I usually say this wraps up, this ends, this concludes news and random thoughts, but I'm just going to say this concludes our segment on politics, AKA U.S. election fatigue part 2. The next episode I put out is going to be it's going to be on a Sunday, and yeah, 2 days before the election. All right. Okay. Let's jump to final thoughts. Okay. Let's do this. All right. Where was I? What's up with today's title? Where do I start? Well, title is still being determined. It might just be sequel to the last episode. It might be What's a God to a Non-Believer Part 2. I'm not sure. But I do know, or it might just be Made Up My Mind, or Discouraging a Little Old Sinner Like Me. Oh, I like that. Discouraging a Little Old Sinner Like Me. All right, okay. So on the poetry, that line that I just recited, comes from a song by Life Jenning called Made Up My Mind. And that song touched me. It was on his first album, actually. And he was just talking about his disappointment with the church, with church people specifically. And how, look, man, I'm trying to get... Yes. I fucking love this song. I'm trying to get this whole Jesus shit. This whole, I want to know more about this Jesus I learned in the Bible, but you motherfuckers are in the way. My therapist introduced me to a term called toxic Christianity. Let me mix. Is that official? Toxic Christianity. Christianity. You know, I'm kind of freaked out that Google is now AI, responds with an AI then. Toxic Christianity can refer to a number of things, including book, a podcast, and idea of theology that limits spiritual experience to accepting beliefs and doctrine. Interesting. Okay. What was I saying? Yeah. So his I guess the song is, in a way, is about toxic Christianity, and it's like it's church people getting in the way. And the reason I like this song, this theme, don't know where that song came from. This theme, this idea, this notion that this message being expressed is, on the last podcast, I talked about my journey into deconstruction, into being why I'm a former Christian. I forgot to acknowledge that my former Christian identity is so important to me that I have a segment on this podcast called Church Ratchetness. And it's dedicated to me just taking the time to talk shit about the church. Church Ratchetness, that's right. Now, if you're a member of the Black Guy Who Tips community, you're probably telling yourself, hey, you're stealing. You just bit their concept. And to them, I always respond with, look, they have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. They're McDonald's, I'm McDowell's. All right? Totally different. All right, okay. Church ratchetness is my way to talk shit about the church. Spoiler alert, I'm a preacher's kid. Some preacher's kid do fucked up shit like have a baby out of wedlock. Me, I talk shit about the church. All right, focus. Yeah, so in the last episode, I talked about how I focused when I talked about why I stopped going to church. And I talked about two things. The first one was learning that Jesus wasn't white. More specifically, it's basically learning about the racist foundation of Christianity. That fucked me up. That planted the seed of, okay, it's downhill from here. And the final straw was Trump. How evangelicals were treating Trump, specifically the way evangelical was treating Trump. And I was thinking about, had me focus on all the times that I was criticized by Christians for not being Christian enough or whatever the fuck, being late for church, not showing up to church, only showing up on Christmas, swearing in church, using the Wi-Fi to use porn. But just over some bullshit. And I look at, wait a minute. You motherfuckers are worshiping this guy. And I'm getting criticized for the small shit. Like the people who would come at me just for being myself. Most of them are like Trump supporters. Trump supporting Christians. That's not most of them. But the idea of they're toxic human beings. I think about, okay, I'm going a little off tangent. I think about Kevin on stage, if you don't know him, comedian Kevin on stage, internet celebrity, all the above, Kevin on stage. And he's a Christian. And I think about maybe if I went to the church he went, I think my theory is he's had a way better experience of church than I had. Mainly because I see how his comedy and like sometimes he says shit that, oh, wow, you're Christian. And I don't mean you're not supposed to do that. I mean, I'm surprised the people in your circles didn't like beat that shit out of you. Like allowed you to be yourself, to be your funny self. I'm surprised by that. Like you have roots in the church and you make those kind of jokes. I'm applauding it, and I'm saying like I get the feeling he had a way better church experience, which is why he's able to be who he is and hold on to his Christian identity. Now, for me, like I said, awful journey into Christianity, especially it's kind of like I had to choose between either being Christian or being myself. I chose myself, but. So I talked about those two parts, those two things, but there was a third factor. Father, Ghost, and the Holy Spirit. the Trinity of what led me out of Christianity. And you ready? I'll tell you after these commercials. I'm kidding. It's reading the Bible. Reading the fucking Bible. For those of you who don't know, I used to be on a podcast called Biblical Skeptic, this is the point, right? Me and this white boy, and the whole point of the whole podcast was we went through the Bible. He was a white guy, not that there was a white guy, but he was the atheist. I was the religious guy. And part of it was supposed to be humor. I was supposed to be the guy who was like, hey man, I was supposed to be the guy defending the Bible and shit like that. But since Genesis, I'm like, fuck. Wait, that shit is in there? Wait, what? I'm going for, look, and the whole point wasn't for me to like study theology and be like, well, the reason it's in there. No, I was reading. It's like I was looking at it for the first time. And I found myself being like, yo, this is some, okay, this is what really happened. It's not just, the more I read, the more I found myself thinking, I don't think God wrote this shit. This feels like something a human being wrote. I was told the people who wrote the Bible were inspired. And what they call inspired, I'm like, you mean high. That's what it felt like. The more I read, the less I was willing to take the word from my pastor, mom, dad, whatever the fuck, that whoever wrote this shit had a greater connection with the Almighty than I could have had. Like it's like, I don't know. It's like, the more I read it, the more I started questioning their credibility. It's like, I need to meet these people. I need to meet this writer. Fuck that. Some of this shit feels like bullshit. A lot of it felt like the writers weren't thinking of my black ass when they made it. They were thinking about, okay, we're going to make some fables for our Jewish kids so they could have belief in themselves that they're like greater than everyone else, like they're the chosen people, and the rest of the world could go fuck themselves. It felt more like I understand why Nation of Islam or 5%ers are like, no, the Bible's talking about us. We're the true Israelites. Whoever wrote that Bible, wrote that shit, was thinking about Israelites. And I still remember being told by my elders, it's like, hey, what's with all this goddamn thinking? This shit was written by God. You said he typed it himself? No. He spoke it. He showed up in their mind. He showed up. And he told his angels. His angels told the people. He whispered them, and they wrote it. And then you read about the history of the Bible, like the New Testament, how that shit was written not by the motherfuckers who were around to see Jesus. It was written by people generations after Jesus. Look, if I wrote the Gospel of Tupac because I was around when he was alive. Okay, no, I didn't meet him. But I remember how after he died, motherfuckers were coming up with new interpretation of Tupac. I'm like, well, I don't think, not to say that I knew Tupac better than Nate, but it was interesting seeing how the people who became fans after he died and the take they had about him. I think Dear Mama is really about whatever, smoking crack. You know, it was just, I'm like, I'm a guy who's never met the dude, and I have like, if I were to wrote the Gospel according to Tupac, and Tupac read it, I'd be like, oh, wow. Glad I had that effect on you, but a lot of this shit is bullshit. But yeah, bottom line, man, you cannot, ain't shit you can say that's going to get me, again, how far did I get? I think I got to, I forget how far. It was just the Old Testament. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read enough to be like, this is bullshit. Fuck that. Look, I'm not denying, sure, there's wisdom in there and stuff like that, but it's like, I felt there was way more wisdom in Game of Thrones than there was in the Bible. More real shit. I think of Nas's Illmatic album. I'm convinced that God ghostwrote that album because it's that dope. So yeah, based on my human experience, it feels more like whoever wrote those pages were like, God damn, this is the shit. God must have written this shit. Fuck that. God wrote it. God told me to write it. Yeah, Bible was bullshit. And then you add the fact that there was a lot of editing in there. I can't remember who told me this. I think my cousin. He said he was at some, I can't remember. He was talking to some Muslim dudes, and I guess they were roasting each other. And the way they were roasting Christianity, they were like, yeah, man, when they give you a Bible, they also give you liquid paper. As in, anyone can edit whatever the fuck they can put in there. Anyone can put whatever they want in there. Yeah, I still remember finding out about the King James Bible. It's like, well, wait, what do you mean? I can understand translating it, but what do you mean he had his own version of the Bible? What do you mean there's a version of the Bible? So yeah, the three things that turned me into a non-believer. First one, learning about the racist roots of Christianity. Second one is the how motherfuckers were allowing themselves, how evangelicals, especially one in particular who was a Sunday school teacher, was getting ready to like talk shit to me about Trump the same way she used to talk to me about Jesus or about how, yeah, it was like, oh man, this shit's a scam. And then three, reading the fucking Bible. I mean, there's more, but I mean, those are the major, if I were to write a book about it, those three are the major, hey, the power of three, kids. Three acts, three reasons why I'm no longer Christian. Woo, 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 woo. Open your third eye. Shit's deep. Deeper than Atlantis, deeper than the seafloor, traveled by the mantis. Do I have,
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to find, yeah, I don't have anything for deep. Oh, what's this? There you go.
See, there you go. Giving a fuck when it ain't your turn to give a fuck.
All right, okay. Yeah, no, I'm just, I have a lot of, sound effect, not sure what they're for. Okay, all right, okay, B, wrap it up. Okay, so, yeah. Is there something I forgot? Oh, right, okay. I was walking today, because I'm going to get to the title, to the my choice of lyrics, right? The title might probably be discouraging for a sinner like me. But I don't want, fuck it, speak your truth. What I was about to say is I don't want Christians to read that and be like, oh, man, this is a podcast for us. I should have wrote this shit down. Yes, the Malcolm X quote. I won't say this is a fourth reason, but I am going to say. So in the last episode, I talked about that. Even by being a former Christian, by dropping Christianity, I have to acknowledge it did create a vacuum. It did create, like, I feel like there's a sense of loss. And I can hear you Christians going, well, just go back. Yeah, just go back. It's like, you know, there's a loss. It's kind of like, I imagine, this is why I compared it to being divorced. It's because you can't go back. Yeah, your partner, your spouse cheated on you. You had an idea of who they were and you can't move on. Like, I acknowledge that. I've been acknowledging that maybe what I'm really rejecting is toxic Christianity. Maybe what I'm rejecting is the racist evangelical portion. You know what I mean? Maybe, like, I've learned a lot to see that, okay, I see what went wrong, but I still can't go get myself to go back. In other words, I made up my goddamn mind. I made up my mind, like Life Jennings. The only thing I could say, what I think of, oh, right. So when I first broke out of Christianity, I couldn't get myself to become atheist. But I couldn't get myself to say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I don't know. I don't like the label agnostic, but maybe that's what it is. And if I don't believe in God, it's less about believing in God. It's more about everything. To me, it feels like everything Christianity has told me about God feels like it's a lie. That's where I'm at. Everything I've been told feels like, so if there is a God, I'm not using Christianity, the telephone Christianity, to talk to God or to talk to the Almighty, whatever it is, this higher power. But the one thing, whatever it is, whatever conclusion I reach, like Malcolm X said, it's going to be my own business. It's no more allowing people to tell me, okay, this is who God is. Now, I'm willing to figure that shit out for myself. And I'm realizing that a lot of part of this conflict that I had is because I did allow, when I was a Christian, I did allow every motherfucker to weigh in with, no, you're not a real Christian, or you should be doing this, you should be wearing black, you should be wearing white, you should be dancing, talking like this, you should be walking, dancing, dressing like this. I did, it's like your opinion mattered more. No, where I'm at is whatever my spirituality is, I'm going to figure it out for my own self. And the rest of the world could go kiss my ass. But I realize, yeah, when it comes to the concept of God, you need to be careful about who you allow to influence your thoughts. The same way you're careful about who you give your heart to. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm not going to elaborate on that. But I just know that you need to be, when it comes to spirituality, you need to be mindful of who you allow to influence your definitions, your views. Because a lot of motherfuckers, want to weigh in. You know, it's funny, is I'm thinking about the atheist dude that I did the podcast with. Staunch atheist. Didn't believe in shit. But I remember it was his behavior. I'm like, dude, for a guy who doesn't believe in God, you sure act like one. Meaning, so opinionated. It's like the world would be a better place if the world viewed it. It's like, I don't know if it's a narcissist, but he was very into telling you what you should be thinking. I'm like, that's what God is. I think that's why we connected, is because I grew up around people like that who are like, I'm going to give you my opinion. You didn't ask for it, but you're going to get it. And they were very strong on, it was people who believed in, okay, I'm the teacher, you're the student. The only way we'll get along is if we act like I have all the answers. Oh, they'll tell you, no, of course not. I'm not like that. But your words and your actions are completely different. The only way we'll get along is if you treat me like I have all the answers. And you are a puny human worshiping at my feet. I forgot why I brought that up. Anyways, yes. Making up my own mind about spirituality. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at on this whole spiritual thing. Spiritual quest. I don't have any answer. I just know that I haven't figured out the details. I just know that this little thing, whatever I figure out, it's my own. I worship porn. It's my own business, my goddamn business. All right, don't be impeding on my religious freedoms. Anyways, this concludes Catchy Fancy. You know, the last episode, I told you that you'll never get me to admit, confess that maybe I forgot to hit the record button, even though all the evidence were pointing at me. Anyways, part of allegedly forgot to hit record, I was hungry. So I wonder if that's what caused me to, like, it doesn't matter. Oh my God. The whole point is I was talking about, on a tangent. All right, okay. Hey, this concludes today's episode. Wait, hold on a second. Yeah, concludes today's episode. Check out, let me see if there's anything in the other links that are worth mentioning. Don't Stop Believing, Why Should Christians Avoid Halloween, against it's meant to be a joke, well, not a joke, but please don't take that too seriously. The Nicest Round, Every Judgment is a Confession, yeah, whatever, okay. All right, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Goddamn, I like to talk. As always, if you want to holler at me, if you connected to with anything that I said, and you want to share some insight, holler at me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Hey, shout out to this one person who I'm trying to hear back from. We'll see how it goes, right? Shout out to everyone who's writing it, who wrote in. That's what I'm saying. Shout out to everyone who's wrote in and wasn't a bot. Trying to sell me webcams. have this fear of responding to an email and then getting a dick pic. All right, okay. So holla at me at shut up. Yeah, holla if you hear me at shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Website is shutuppodcast.com. It's a work in progress. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's it. As always, thank you for listening. And as always, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. I wish you peace.